The reading this morning is taken from Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Amy, I'm the curate here, if I've not met you before. And we are on Frontline 3, so we've been doing a series called Frontline. The third week, we're halfway through. But it's been going into what we do Monday to Saturday when we're not at church, and trying to encourage us in our faith and how we share that and how we serve God where we're at. So this morning we're on week 3, which is entitled Whatever We Do. So that's in those places that we are, what we're doing. We saw in the video some examples of what some people do during the week. We had the kids up this morning showing some more examples of what we do during the week. So have those places in mind as we're going through this morning. Maybe you have one place that really sticks out to you that's definitely your front line. Maybe you have a few that you think, oh, well, I spend a bit of time there. That could be it. Why don't you just take 30 seconds, share with the people around you where your front line is, the place that you're going to have in mind as we're going through this morning. Have you got your front lines in mind? We're all thinking of a place. Excellent. It could be a workplace. It could be something you do for fun, a social place that you go to. It could be somewhere that you really don't like that you have to go there, but you're just stuck there. Have that place in mind and be seeing what God says to you over the course of the next half an hour. So I want to start by stressing to you that what we do matters to God. God really cares about what we do. He doesn't just care when we're in church, when we're worshipping, when we're praying. He does care about that stuff, but he doesn't just care about that stuff. He cares about what we do during the week. He cares about where we go to work. He cares about what we do for fun. He cares about where we go to meet friends when we're being social. He cares about what we do in our homes. He cares. He created us. He is our Heavenly Father. If anyone has children, you know that you care what your children get up to because you love them deeply. And God cares about us in that way. Nothing that we do is insignificant. God wants to use everyone, everything that we have, whatever we're doing, God wants to use it. And sometimes God uses us in spite of what we do or what we're doing. That doesn't stop God. We don't get in the way of God using us. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I feel that sometimes what I'm doing is a bit mediocre or a bit insignificant. I feel like I'm a bit weak, like I can't really do it and I can't do stuff properly. Anyone else feel a bit useless like that sometimes? Please say it's not just me. Yeah, there we go, lots of hands. We all feel it sometimes. But a good place to start when we're feeling like that is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. So when we're feeling weak, when we're feeling useless, insignificant, that's when God uses us. God always has used people who feel weak and insignificant and unimportant. All we need to do is have a look back through Scripture and we see all of these examples of people who do amazingly magnificent things, who started out as quite insignificant characters. Think about Moses. He was born to a Hebrew family in Egypt, and his mother, to save him, put him in a basket and sent him up the Nile to protect him, and he was brought up in Pharaoh's household. Eventually, Moses murdered someone, ran out into the desert to hide, to start a new life, to run away from it all. But God used Moses Moses is trying to hide. God said to him, no, I want you to go and free my people. I want you to head back to Egypt, this place that you've kind of run away from to try and forget exists. I want you to go back there, and I want you to free my people. Go and talk to Pharaoh. I want you to set them free. And Moses said no initially. He didn't want to. He felt very inadequate, very underprepared for this job. But eventually he said yes. And it wasn't anything that Moses did, but it's everything that God did through Moses that meant that the people were set free. And God worked through Moses because Moses was obedient to what God asked him to do. We also have David. David was a small shepherd boy. He was the youngest of many siblings. He may have got bullied a bit by his older brothers. I'm an older sister, and I used to bully my little sisters a little bit. Anyone else? No? Okay, just me. I'm awful. He was a younger sibling. You know, he was looked down on, very insignificant, nothing important. He wasn't going to inherit anything. But this little boy, this nobody, he helped the Israelite army defeat the Philistine army, where Goliath, who was this huge, tall soldier, David defeated him with a stone because God told him to go and defeat him. David eventually went on to become king of Israel, to do all this successful stuff. He didn't have a totally pure life, don't get me wrong, but he did do a lot of great stuff because God wanted to use him. God took this shepherd boy and turned him into a king. And a king who eventually, if you follow the line along, Jesus is in that line of succession. That's quite a life change, isn't it, really? And then if we go forward to the New Testament, we find Mary, who is this unmarried teenage girl. She lives in Nazareth. Nazareth is a town that has very little significance to anyone. Mary would have been very insignificant, quite a nobody, to be honest. And one day, this angel turns up and says, Mary, you're highly favoured. God has chosen you. And by the Holy Spirit, she conceived, she gave birth to Jesus, the Messiah, brought up the Son of God, this insignificant teenager. God chose her. And God worked through her mightily. They were just ordinary people, kind of living boring, ordinary lives, just getting on with what they were doing. I'm sure if you'd have said to any of them, no, this is how God is going to use you, they'd have laughed and said, no, absolutely not, you're having me on. But God takes that ordinariness and turns it into extraordinariness. Those three people, they all said yes when God called on them. And God said, this is how we're going to flip your life around. And they were all obedient. And they said, yes, okay, God, use me. They offered what they had. They offered their ordinary to God. And it's not just reserved for these remarkable biblical characters. That's us as well. God wants to take our ordinary and turn it into the extraordinary. But why should we offer our ordinary to God? You know, what's God done for us that we need to offer our lives back to him? I want to tell you about a story in Mark chapter 12. Jesus is watching people come to the temple and put money in the temple treasury. And all of these rich, well-off, high-up people are going to the treasury and putting in more money than I care to imagine. And making a big song and dance about it. Look at me, aren't I good? I'm putting in 1,000, I'm putting in 2,000. And then this poor old widow walks up to the temple treasury and puts in 2 small coins. We're told it's worth less than a penny. 2 small coins. And Jesus says this of this woman, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. She gave everything she had because she knows that God is worth giving everything back to. So in response to what Jesus has done for us, we can only respond by offering our whole selves back to God, like that poor widow, all that we have, all that we do. And what Jesus did for us, Jesus took the nails and hung on a cross. He took that humiliation because he thought that I was worth it. He thought that you were worth it. Each one of us, he thought that we were worth dying for. And he rose again to show that he defeated death and sin. That is worth giving everything for. If that's not worth giving everything for, I'm not going to have anything better for you this morning. We can't do any more than just offer our very selves back to God. My God died for me. How could I not give my best for him? So we offer our best, which might not seem like very much. That widow gave two small coins. Doesn't seem like very much on the face of it, but that was the best she could give. That was everything she could give. We offer our best when it might not seem like much. And whatever we do it with absolutely everything we can muster because God is good and he deserves our best. And then God takes those ordinary things that we offer and God makes them extraordinary. When we heard in our reading, it's Colossians chapter 3, if you want to flip open to it. Verse 23 says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. We need to make sure our why, our reason for what we're doing, is firstly Jesus. Our reason is that we are working for Jesus in everything that we do. That's how we act in response to who Jesus is. That's what worship is our response to what God has done for us. And that comes out in service, in love to people around us, in our witness to who God is. We should be living our whole lives as an act of worship. Romans chapter 12 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, your whole self. It's not saying, "Jesus, you can have my right leg today to use, but I need it back tomorrow." It's our whole self every day, offering everything that we have. After communion, we pray a prayer sometimes, and there's a line in it that says this, "We offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory." And sometimes when we have repeated prayers that we say, we can sometimes go a bit on autopilot with them and not really register what we're praying. But how much do we mean that? What would happen if we actually prayed that with real conviction? "We offer you our souls and bodies. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory." What does that really look like? But we're not alone in doing that. That sounds like a huge task. But the second part of that prayer is, "Send us out in the power of your Spirit." We're asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We're not being left on our own to wander out and change the world. It's not up to us, thank goodness. But we're being filled with the Spirit so we can go out and serve God and do more than we can imagine. But that's the only way we can do that. To be filled with the Spirit, the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that is in us when we go out, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus set us an example as well. Jesus, in serving God, whatever he did, he directed everything towards God to glorify the Father, whatever he did. He tells us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Love God with everything that we have. And in Jesus' life, in his love, in his service, he is always pointing to God. Are we doing that with our lives and everything that we're doing? Are we pointing back to God? There's a remarkable story in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Jesus had a friend called Lazarus who died. And Jesus was really upset. But Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And God was glorified through that act, through that resurrection. And Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me. But for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." Jesus said that so that he could bear witness to what God was doing to the people around him that may not have yet encountered God. So whatever we do, are we doing it in worship in response to what God has done for us? And in whatever we do, are we doing it to love and serve the people around us, like the example that Jesus sets us? And in whatever we do, are we sharing the gospel so that more people can know about the goodness of God and his love for us? I wonder if any of you have ever seen the television programme Undercover Boss? Got some nods. For the benefit of anyone that's never seen it, how this television programme works is it's a reality show. So you have a CEO of a big company. We'll take McDonald's because I like McDonald's. And this CEO disguises themselves. They may put on glasses, they may put on a big face mask that changes the shape of their face, a wig, dress down, change of clothing. These transformations are remarkable. And then what happens is this CEO will go to just like a bog standard McDonald's. We'll take the one over on, is it Ravenswood? The one over there. I like that McDonald's. So your CEO will go to the McDonald's and they'll introduce this CEO as a like just a new person. Here's your new person here for your induction. And they'll pair them up with an employee. And the employee, it goes one of two ways. We'll say, "Okay, come with me, follow me. I'll show you everything that we do. This is how we fry the chips. This is how we take the order. We have to be really friendly and really nice to everyone. And it's a lot of fun. And we put the money in here and shut the till like this. And this is how you make a burger. Excellent, you're doing really well." Or it goes like this. And this is the employee that is paired up. When no one's looking, you can eat the chips. I don't really bother being nice to people. I just like take the money and don't really care. And if there's rubbish on the floor, just kick it under the counter. No one needs to see that. And then at the end of the show, the CEO takes off the disguise. They are revealed and they meet the employees that they met during this experiment. And if I was the second employee, I would be pooing it, honestly. Could you imagine? And so the people that have done really well, they give them a promotion or a raise or say, "We're going to promote you to manager and we're going to do this really great thing for you." And if you're the employee that really didn't care, they might fire you or they might try and get to the bottom of why you're acting like that, give you a bit of a warning, give you a bit of a telling off. I told you about that television programme. Because we're thinking about whatever we do, are we doing it for God? And Jesus isn't an undercover boss. But because he's not physically standing next to us all the time, I think sometimes we forget that Jesus knows everything that's in our hearts. Jesus knows what we're doing. How differently would we act if Jesus was physically standing next to us for a week? How differently would we act? What would we do, think, say differently? I was so challenged by this when I was putting this together during the week. We might think twice about some of the things we say or do if Jesus is standing next to us, me included. But we're also not just acting up for a reward because we know that Jesus is watching us. It's if I behave, then I'll get a reward. Because Jesus is watching, that's not how it works either. We hope and pray that what we do bears fruit. But the reality is we may not get a reward this side of heaven. We don't do it for that. We do it in response to what God has done for us. And verse 24 of our reading says, "You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Our reward is in heaven. We don't act in a particular way doing whatever we do because we know God is watching. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows our intentions. So then how, when we're doing what we're doing, how can we give our ordinary back to God? How can we make sure that whatever we're doing, we are doing for God? Well, our reading helps us with this. Verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What if we actually did everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God? Imagine if we started everything with, I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, thank you that I can do this. We'll probably be more attentive to what God is doing around us if we started everything like that. It might take us a little bit longer to get everything that we need to get done if we started everything with a prayer. But think how God might work through your week. Just imagine something totally ordinary. Just going for a walk. Sometimes you just go out and get a breath of fresh air. You need a change of scenery. But before you opened your door to leave, just imagine you just took a second and said, I'm going for this walk in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, and for the glory of God. Thank you that I can do this. How different might your walk be? You'd be walking around and you might think, oh, I'm really feeling the Spirit say something to me about this person over here. Maybe I need to go and talk to them. I don't know who this person is, but I'm feeling empowered by the Spirit to talk to this person. Or I feel like God really wants me to go here for whatever reason. We're just more attentive to God when we're praying. And it might be that nothing different is happening on that walk than might have happened. But God is working through it. Perhaps it's something as ordinary as having dinner. You know, we all eat several meals a day. Fairly ordinary. But imagine if we all started our meals by giving thanks to God and saying we're going to eat this in the name of Jesus. Some people probably already say grace before dinner. That's all this is. It's just offering back to God that time, the people that we're sharing that meal with, the food that we have in front of us, offering it all back to God for his use. There's an excellent example in the Bible of that. Jesus had a crowd of 5,000 people in front of him, and they were all hungry. And the only food that they could find were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus took them and said, Father, thank you for these. Bless this food. Jesus started this really ordinary task by offering it straight back to God. And what did God do with it? These 5,000 people, plus women and children, got to eat. They collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, if that is not turning the ordinary into the extraordinary, I don't know what is. That's amazing, and an amazing example of what God will do if you just offer him your bog-standard loaves and fish. It's not really just about what we do. It's about the way that we do it and the intentions that we have with offering it back to God. And this as well is really crucial to our witness as Christians. When we meet people, people are meeting Jesus through us. And that might be the only image of Jesus that this person has ever, will ever come across. You might be the only Christian this person ever meets. What this person thinks about Christians, what this person thinks about Jesus, might rest entirely on their impression of you and how you've acted, behaved towards them, loved them. That's quite a big responsibility. How does that change my interactions with people if I know that I am there representing Jesus? It's not acting then based on who the person is, whether I like them or not. The fact is, we don't all like everyone. We're not all going to be best friends with everyone. But that doesn't change how we act towards people if we're representing Jesus, if we're showing them who Jesus is. This person matters to God. God sees this person, even if we don't think much of them. So we need to start seeing this person and thinking more of them and thinking, how does God see this person? This is how I need to see this person. And through that, they will meet Jesus through how we act towards them. Whatever we do, whether we're at home, at work, out for a walk, eating dinner, Whatever we do, word or deed, as Christians, we're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus, representing who Jesus is, what Jesus stands for. An ambassador for a country represents what that country is all about. Christians are that for Christ. We represent what the gospel is all about. We represent Jesus' message. And for that one person who never meets another Christian, what we say or do to them, that's what they think of Jesus. Matthew 25:40, Jesus says this, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." What Jesus is saying there, that those we might consider to be the lowest in society, how we treat them is how we treat Jesus directly. If we love that person, we're loving God. If we're horrid to that person, that's how we're acting towards God. Goodness, how does that change things for us during the week? So I think my challenge for all of us this morning is, what would it look like if we started everything that we did over this next week by just saying, "I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. I'm giving thanks to the Father, and I know that I'm empowered by the Spirit to do this." Maybe there are some tasks that we would stop ourselves from doing if we actually started with that prayer. Maybe there are some things that we wouldn't say if we started with that prayer. But how much more would God work through us if we started things with that prayer? How much more attentive to the Spirit would we be? We'd be keeping in step with what the Spirit wants to do in us. And as well as that, I want you to remember this week that it matters to God what we do. So it should matter to us. And that should affect the way in which we do things. Everything we do is an act of worship, an act of service and love, an act of witness to who Jesus is. Which means we should be offering our very best to God, all that we have offering back to God. God is calling each one of us in our total ordinariness just to worship him, to serve him in whatever we're doing. And if we offer our ordinariness up to God, he uses it, transforms it into extraordinariness. Everything we do, whatever we do, should be in response to Jesus Christ. The end of our Colossians reading says, "It is the Lord Christ you are serving." How does that change whatever we do? Let's just pray. Loving God, thank you that we are sent out by you to all these different places. Thank you that you care about us, that you love us. Thank you that whatever we do matters to you. God, help us this week in whatever we do, that we might do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving glory and thanks to the Father and through the power of the Spirit. Would you empower us this week and send us out in the power of the Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.